I'd like to share with you the message this morning. I feel that maybe God will lead us into a time of a ministry time, but please remind me that Carol has some words of knowledge, and I want to be open for us to respond to that. Okay, so just to kind of let you know where I'm coming from. Okay, how are you today? And then the question, how are you really today? I found this last week on a Christian mum's prayer page, and it's called Captivated Prayer. And we receive any prayer requests. This from, I think, all the UK. And I found three particular stories, and I'd like to begin by reading them to you. And one of them was said this: "Please pray for me. I'm so down today, and I need some encouragement as I cannot see the way ahead in the next season of what to do. I know that God knows and has it in hand, but here today, I feel disappointed. I feel frustrated. I feel sad, and I need God to speak to me." And then there was a second prayer request. "Dana is still in a coma. She was put in it deliberately because of the pain. There are amputations ahead. The feet, possibly also the lower legs. It's awful. And I really need your prayers." And then one was this: "I work in a very small team who are like family to me. And in the last 2 weeks, three members of our team have lost either their dad, or their wife, or their daughter unexpectedly and quite suddenly. And one was a suicide. It's hit us all so much. So please pray for us." Doesn't it make your heart ache when you read or when you hear about pain and suffering? The anxiety, the fears that some people are going through in their lives every day. And it's still going on for day, week, month after month. And even if you don't know these people and you read them, you see, day by day, many people, and that includes Christians, they live their lives, and some so overwhelmed and crushed by the things that happen to them, either in their lives or in people very close to them. I know our family over the last 2 to 3 years have gone through some very, very difficult times, health-wise and so on. And as parents, we've been burdened for them. This morning, there may be people close to you that you know are going through some hard times. There might be people here this morning going through some very hard times. And you might be asking, if that's you, is there a solution? Is there an answer? Is there a way for me, for you, to overcome this? Now, I believe in God there is. Or God can give us grace through those trials. Through those trials. And so this morning I want to look into, believe it or not, the book of Psalms, to see how God, through the psalmist, can show us how to sing, how to pray, how to be comforted, and how to help other people when times are very, very hard for them. So if you've you've got your Bible, if you could open up to Psalm 42. And we're going to read 43. I'll explain later why I want us to read 42 and 43 together. And this is what the psalmist said, Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. What men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive song. Festive throng. Why are you so downcast within me? Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan. We've just been hearing great about Jordan. The heart of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls, and your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the wind directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And I say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. And then we move on to Psalm 43, and it says, vindicate me, O God, an ungodly nation, rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You God, my stronghold, why have you rejected me? Why have I gone about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Set forth your light and your truth, let them guide me, let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, and yet it's more like a dirge, a lament, because the psalmist is being honest. And Lord, how I pray today that as we think about these two psalms, I want to pray, Lord, speak to us about where we're at. And if you want to move us on, and if you want to use us to help to move others on to a better place. In Jesus' name I pray. I want to begin the message this morning by giving you a little background and a possible context for these psalms, okay? The book of Psalms is divided into, well, how many psalms are there? 150, yeah. And it's split up into how many parts, do you think? Five. There's five parts to the book of Psalms. The second book begins at Psalm 42, where I began reading, and it continues right up to 72. And because of its content, this second book of the book of Psalms could be entitled, and this is the kind of thought and the title that I have for this message, How to Sing When Times Are Hard. How can we, as believers, still sing, still praise God when we're going through hard times? Now, actually, I would encourage you, read those 31 Psalms, okay? And you'll see that this second book of the book of Psalms is a series of songs that are composed by writers, psalmists, going through very difficult times when they were writing them. And they were written to be sung at the worship time of God's people. That's why Psalms are written. So imagine singing about the very hard times that we're going through and pulling any punches with God when you're singing. And it was to help people to understand and how to overcome through difficult times in their lives. We all go through difficult times in your lives. I could go through here, and I don't think there would be a single person who hasn't been through a hard time. Maybe even in this last year. Every one of us goes through hard times. Some people go through hard times more than other people. Like I said, some of you may be going through them right now. So studying these psalms and others' psalms out of the second book will help us to learn God's truths that could really help us, because God doesn't want to be for us to be a victim. He wants us to be a victor, okay? He wants us to be a victor. Now, like the first eight books then, or book two, starting from Psalm 42 to 49, they weren't written by David. If you look at the top of your Bibles, it says they were written by the sons of Korah. Now, who are the sons of Korah? We're told, believe it or not, you can find it in the book of Chronicles, chapter 6, verse 33, for a few verses. It says there was a man, and his name was Heman, and he was of the tribe of Levi. 12 tribes of Israel and the tribe of Levi were those who were involved, called by God, to do the worship in the tabernacle, and consequently into the temple. And Heman was the chief worship leader and musician, all right, in the Kohathite clan or tribe of Levi. And the Kohathites were one of the three, they made up the choir, but they had their own choir to make up one big Levite choir in the worship at the tabernacle on Mount Zion. And other psalmists who wrote in this second book were people like Solomon and David and Asaph. And David was chief worship leader. And he taught those other three how to write the psalms, the music, the songs, and how to sing them. Now, that's the second thing. The third thing is the structure of these psalms. Psalm 42 and 43, I read them because they're written in a very, very similar way. And they actually have the same kind of feel about them. There are two parts, two stanzas, they say, in Psalm 42. And there's one in Psalm 43. And then there's a single verse in each of those three stanzas, two in Psalm 42 and one in Psalm 43. They're the same. Basically the same. And so people think they were originally written on, but they split it into two to sing them. Okay? Now, some of you may have gone to sleep here. Okay? But, as I said right at the beginning, I find it very challenging that God, the Lord, chose to include Psalms as sickness. And words neglect Psalms. Instead of just singing happy, upbeat songs, sometimes to put a brave face on any problems we're going through. As you're going through them, hard times, defeat, disillusionment. Or it might be just me, but sometimes I'm a bit defeated, disillusioned, because of some of the things I go through. You have to, haven't you?
No.
All right. So it's not just me then. Okay? But often, and there's nothing wrong in singing, but I just think, why has God allowed David, these psalmists, particularly the sons of Korah, but others do it as well, to write about the difficult times? And they're in them. It's not just happened to them, it's where they are when they write it. I believe that God is looking for his people, that's us, if we know God, he's looking for his people to be honest in our worship and open in our worship about what's happening in our lives. In prayer meetings, one of the things that thrills me that you've started here at Blackburn is meetings on a Sunday night. And I think there's a time for these kinds of songs and prayers in a prayer meeting. Now,
you shouldn't really feel like that.
What David does, and he puts it in writing for us to see and millions of others. Because God wants us to be honest in our worship about what's happening in our lives and how people really feel about it. Why? Because I think victory in our lives will begin, and growth in our lives and maturity in our spirituality only comes from us being honest with ourselves and with God and having the right view of God. All right, are you awake? Finally, this is all part of the in context, is at the top of each of these psalms, what word, probably italics, do you come across? Pardon? Maskil. All right, it's a Hebrew word. Maskil. See, you're jumping about in all sorts of languages. Here's your Hebrew word today. Maskil. Miktam. But hopefully you might invite me back and I'd love to that because somebody, who was it? You shared the story that Helen had studied about the hidden treasure. And the word I thought I was excited because the word Mictam means hidden treasure. All right? And so, if you invite me back, I want to talk about Mictams in the Book of Psalms. The hidden treasures, because they're there. But the word maskil, I read that it's a literary term meaning, hey, this is a teaching psalm. It's not just a sing, it's going to teach us something. It should teach us something. I want to teach you something. So, ask ourselves, okay, when I read Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 and the other Psalms, and they've got masculine over the top, what are they teaching me? All right? What are they teaching me? So what do these two Psalms teach us? Firstly, okay, firstly, in Psalm 42, through hard times, Psalm 42 teaches us that we often feel that God is a long, long way away. Do you ever feel like that? That God is distant. Right? Yes, I know about the Holy Spirit. He comes to live in our lives when we believe in God. But even when that has happened, sometimes you feel as though God's a million miles away. Do you ever feel like that? Yeah? Some are going, who's nodding? Who's shaking? All right? God can feel a million miles away. And here, these sons of Korah, they declare that they are desperate for the presence of the Lord. Are you ever desperate for things? Cup of tea in the morning. No, it's not desperation. That's your caffeine fix. No, it's not. Sorry about that. Verse 1. This is what God writes through the sons of Korah. I love it. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? When can I meet with God? Where is your God? That's desperate. That's where God's, he feels that God's a million miles away. You'll ask those two questions. Where, and where will I meet with God? When I was at Bible college, one of my professors, a guy called Mr. Hawker, one of my teachers, he's a lovely man. And I remember one lunchtime used to have a little mini service for the students and the staff. And Mr. Hawker read this. He says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for God. And you know what he said? And if even though Mr. Hawker, he was very trim and proper like me, okay? And he said, pants your pants. God. This is how the sons of Korah felt. I am thirsty for God. I want God. Then, in verse 4, they remember before. That's what we do when we're going through hard times. We remember before how they used to enjoy an intimacy and a close fellowship with God. And guess what? They're looking for it again. You're looking for what you don't have. You long And that's what they did. We love to be back there with God. They longed to be back in the temple where they used to shout for joy and worship God. Now, for some reason, and we're not told here why, for some reason, they couldn't get to the tabernacle to worship God. And after some time, it set in. They felt that God was distant. It's interesting, when I do that, some people look over there. All right. They felt God was far, far away. How do you feel like? What do you feel like when you feel that God's a million miles away? Well, you feel lonely. You feel a bit lost. You feel a bit empty inside. You feel numb. And you feel a bit crushed. Now, what are we to do? Let me tell you a personal story. It's a love story. You all know love stories, okay? You won't be embarrassed, Lynn, okay? Before Lynn and I were married, the hardest... Lynn's looking at you. What's he going to say, okay? Before Lynn and I were married, the hardest time during our long courtship was being separated when we were both studying about 200 miles away from each other in the country. I was down in London, Lynn was in North Wales studying. You could, you know, these were the dark days of courtship. Do you know why they're called dark? The people of today, just, I don't know how they manage without their mobiles. What? There's pressure on you having a mobile, you know. Oh dear, I'm thinking of you. Well, phone them. Now, there were no mobiles when we were courting with Ellen. No mobiles. We were so poor. This is where, you know, you'll start sobbing. In those days, not only were there no mobiles, but believe it or not, not everybody had a phone in their house. You know those little glass boxes on the side of the road? They were used. They were telephone boxes. Put your hands up if you've ever used a red telephone box. All right. There were no mobiles at all. Not even bricks. There were no, or very few people at that point had, they call them landlines, but it was just a phone at home. And we had to use, if you wanted to talk to them 200 miles away, you did it in a number of ways. You used the kiosks. Now, you're 200 miles away, and you're trying to work out, am I going to be in? Is Lynn going to be in? Is the box going to be free? Is it not? Is it working? How much will it cost? It was expensive using phone boxes in those days. But as you can see, love prevailed. Yeah. We are here after 45, 50 years of being together. What did we do? Well, we did phone each other. It took some doing. Just getting the time right. And it was expensive, but we tried at phoning as often as we could and could afford it. Then both of us wrote letters. Both of us. Yes, guys, I wrote letters. You know, when I was thinking about this message, I thought, where are those letters, Lynn? Why did we not save them? Because we must have written about 150 letters each. they'd be worth a mint today. So we wrote letters. Yeah, they were love letters. They were. And we did it every week. Then sometimes twice a week. I was lazy. We tried to meet up at weekends as often as we could. But I still remember how very hard it was to maintain a relationship at a distance, and it not only maintain it, but develop it and grow it at a distance. Now, it's the same with us and God. It's all about a love relationship between us and God. All right? How can we maintain a loving relationship, intimate relationship with God when he feels so different? Now, it's wonderful. It's mentioned three times after the end of each stanza. And it's this. There's three bits to it. One is remember. Remember. The next bit is put your hope in God. And then the third bit is, and I will yet praise him. Now, why did I emphasize yet? Remember, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. I'll talk about those three bits in a moment. But in the New Testament, to the writer to the Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 5. Let's consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let's not fail giving up meeting together, as is the habit of some. That's what it says. But let us meet and encourage one another. Let us meet and encourage one another. What activities could God want us to be doing in hard times? Interestingly, sometimes when the hard times come about, it's because we don't. All right? Well, take time to meet with others to worship him. I just want to challenge you. What time do you get to the meeting place on a Sunday or your midweek group? What time does it start here? You don't know. 10:30. What time do you arrive? Because you see, if you arrived at 10:30, consciously or unconsciously, you're saying, I'm not going to have time to talk with folk because we're going to start. I'll leave it till later. All right? Or your midweek meeting. They start at 7 or 7:30. What time do you get there? Now, okay, you've got to give grace to the people's home because they might be getting the kids off to bed. You might arrive a bit early, but try and get there. Not just on the dot. Why? So God can use you to encourage people. So God can minister to your own heart through people. Some arrive at 10:30 and leave on the dot afterwards. Now, that fellowship with God is a godly thing. The koinonia. Right? So make time to meet with others. Why? Well, to pray with people. To find out how they really are. You may get to pray with them. You may be able to ask, could you pray for me? Could you pray for me? It's to open God's word. Why? It's full of promises. It's full of promises. And we can share them and talk about them with each other in, say, our small groups, so that they can impact our lives. How about, and I think this is so good, is testifying how good God has been for you and to you. To encourage others. And you will have stories to share. And you testify about God's provision, His goodness, God's grace to you, His mercy to you, His kindness, and God's love as well, to encourage. But those mobile phones, use them. Send texts of encouragement. Listen to God. Because He might put it upon your heart. Just text Jeanette. I chose Jeanette because she's on the front. But others, just be open. And ask God to, here's this phone. Use it for God. Ring them up. You've got 3 minutes. Hands up who's got 3 minutes on the phone. Do you use them all the month? No. There you go. All right. Use them possibly for God. Don't do it. Go it alone. Now, the second thing, all right? When we're going through hard times, Lynn's despairing here. Okay? Not only do we feel distant when we're going through hard times, but the hard times overwhelm us. Right? That might also cause us to think, God's forgotten me. Look what's happening to them. They got an answer to prayer. I didn't. God's forgotten me. And we ask ourselves, why do I have to go through this? No? Does it ring a bell? Yeah. All right. We feel like that, don't we? Now, here in this second stanza in Psalm... just rocking then. I heard things. Psalm 42 in verses 7 to 9, the sons of Korah, they no longer feel that they're dying of thirst in the desert. But there's something to do with water. It's just the reverse. They feel as if they are drowning under waterfalls and crushing waves of disappointment and suffering. Have you ever put your head under a waterfall? Put your hands up if you have. Five of us. I thoroughly recommend it. I did it when I was 16 years old in camping in Littledale. And waves coming down the river. There were the current coming down, and then there was a drop. And we camped out at night, and in the morning, yes, boys, okay? And I went out I rinsed myself off, not put my head in the water, but I put under the waterfall. It was at that height. It wasn't, you know, huge. But that I couldn't get there because it was ongoing all the time. And the power in this waterfall. That's what sometimes hard times can feel like. Overpowered, crushed by the things that are happening to you themselves. Now, what does God say? Matthew 11, wonderful verse, verses 28 to 30. This is what Jesus says. You know, you can just imagine Jesus talking to the disciples. He said, hey guys, some of you are going through hard times. Some of you will go through hard times. We read it nearly 2,000 years later and say, we are going through the hard times. This is good for me. come to me, Jesus says, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Sounds like a hard time to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. And if you do that, that's my part put in here, and if you do that, what's going to happen? You will find rest for your souls. If we do that. For my yoke is easy, Jesus says, and my burden is light. Jesus wants us to come to him. Just as we are. No matter what we've done. Just as we are. Did you know that Jesus longs to meet with you? He delights in you. He really does want to meet with us. And he promises rest for our souls. Why do you think Lynn and I are where we are together? Do you know why? It's that word yet. Remember, put your hope in the Lord your God. And yet I will praise him. What's that meaning there? He says, you know, somewhere down the line, we're going to meet up. Could be a week, could be 2 weeks, could be a month. Long we've never been separated before we met, that's after we met each other, was 6 weeks. And then had to come back to this country. That was a long 6 weeks. It was an expensive 6 weeks as well. We spent £300 on phone bills. Right? For I will yet praise him. We knew, we were convinced that it wouldn't end in the hard time. That God would come through for us. I also said we wrote love letters. Do you like love letters? Put your hands up if you don't like love letters. Just a diff. Oh, Andy Berry doesn't. So this book, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible tells me so. God has written thousands and thousands of love letters to us. Read it. I'm sure, I've not asked Lynn this. Andy doesn't like writing. Have you ever received a love letter, Andy? No. The reason I asked about receiving love letters is this. If you write them, that is, Andy. Is this. When Lynn sent me a love letter, I didn't just read it once. Pardon, what was that going to? I wish I did. Well, I wish. I read them again and again and again. And then I threw them away. No. And then, right? We don't just read them once. In those hard times, we read them over and over and over. Or we convict, and we do because they wrote them. And that's their feelings towards us. God's the same with his word. That's why it's great to read it over and over again. Because it can thrill our hearts. How to sing in the hard times. How to sing. God. come to Jesus. Meet with each other. Demonstrate your love to one another. If anything I've been saying this morning to you really has come home hard, I hope some of it has. And you want somebody to pray with you, then please come forward. You could be going through. There will be people here going through hard times. And you might say, I'll go through it. I've been it before. I'll go through it again. Fine. But I believe it's one of the reasons why he gathers together in churches. So we can support one another, encourage, spur people on.